In 1970, the deadliest storm in modern history ripped Pakistan in two and began a chain reaction of turmoil, genocide, and war. The Vortex, by Scott Carney and Jason Michelin, is a dramatic story of revolution and resilience in the face of a climate emergency. Available now in hardcover, ebook, and audiobook.
Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
All right, before I forget, I got to tell you, at Doers of the Word Baptist Church this Sunday, the Resurrection Sunday, we're only going to have a morning service. We're only going to have, we are always on Resurrection Sunday because it's the most holy day of the year. And that day we spend with our church family and then we spend with our natural family. And so we'll only have a morning service. And it's always a pretty good one, too. And so, and that starts at 9 a.m. with praise and worship, 9:30 with an in-depth Bible study, which I'll be teaching, and at 11:15 with the morning service. So there you go. That's Doers of the Word, 14781 Sperry Road. That's right. People always want me to give the address. The address of Doers of the Word Baptist Church is 14781 Sperry. S-P-E-R-R-Y Road, Newberry, N-E-W-B-U-R-Y, Ohio. And that is, it's right at the corner of Route 87 and Sperry Road under the 800-foot tower. The church building's at the base of that 800-foot tower. You can't hardly miss it. So that's this coming Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. And now I want to ask and say again to wish all of you a blessed Resurrection Sunday. Now, we're going to take a look at, remember how the talking heads, you know, it made me so, yeah.
Before we go on, I really feel that I want to add some quick clarification to what we had talked about earlier. That is the world in the three verses that we talked about.
Yeah.
So when you go to James and you go to the verse that John read, there's two words in there that are not in John 3:16. And those words are really key. It's in the world and of the world.
Mm-hmm.
So those verses define what those verses are talking about, things that are in the world and of the world, which is not in John 3:16. So then the rest of the part of 3:16, as John pointed out, defines what the world is in John 3:16, which is totally different than as it is defined in those two other verses. So those two little words make a world of difference when you rightly divide it.
Yeah, John 3:16, the world is those that believe upon his name. Those that believe upon his name.
Two words are key.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are the words that are used that define what those verses are talking about.
All righty. Now, remember how the talking heads all, I mean, they did it in medicine. They were in lockstep. And remember, and I heard them say this, that if we all say the same thing at the same time, people will believe us. Who was it? It was the blonde-headed woman that said that. She also said, what is her name?
It was Hermann Göring, the Nazi minister of propaganda.
Yeah, I know that, but it was repeated. It was repeated by...
They said if you repeat a lie long enough, the people will believe it.
Yeah, well... What they said, if we all say the same thing at the same time, people will believe us. And she's the one, the one that said that our job is to tell you what to think and why you think it.
Oh, yeah.
That's the one that interviewed President Trump, and she lied. I mean, flat out lied. She called President Trump a liar, boy, I'm going to tell you, she is no journalist. She's a media tramp, okay? Knowing she was lying, she was attacking someone who was far superior than her in every way, and I can't remember her name. Well, maybe that's why.
That's what I was saying, Pastor Ernie. These people are, they lie, and if they're caught, they drop it and they go to another lie. It's one lie after another, after another. You know, years ago, back in the day when we were younger, I'll say, all right, people lied. but it would be like maybe one lie and tell 10 telling the truth. You know, politicians I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Media. And now it's just, even when they're telling the truth about something, they put a twist on it and make it worse. Like, so they can't tell the truth anymore. There's a lying spirit in them, which they are virtually unable to tell the truth.
You're right. Now, we're going to play this clip, and he's going to be showing you about all of these illegal ballots, what they've found, and I think it's True to Vote. So go ahead and play that clip.
Good evening, and boy, do we have a special episode today. As you're likely already aware, there's an organization in this country called True the Vote, which has been, since the year 2020, investigating the ballot harvesting operations, the illegal ballot harvesting operations, which took place across at least 6 different states during the presidential election. And using their methodology of tracing cell phone ping data surrounding drop boxes, reviewing millions of minutes of surveillance footage, and then actually interviewing the ballot harvesters themselves, they were able to determine that approximately 4.8 million ballots were likely submitted through the illegal use of ballot drop boxes through ballot harvesters. That's their official estimate after a 2-year-long investigation, and they have in hand all of the evidence to back up their claims. And today, we had the unique opportunity to speak with the founder of True the Vote, Ms. Catherine Engelbreit. All right, Catherine, thank you so much for joining us. A lot of our viewers are big fans of True the Vote's work. I've been following it closely. In fact, 2 of last week's episodes were devoted to your work in Wisconsin and Georgia. Let's start with your work post-2020 in Wisconsin. So recently you had a hearing at the Wisconsin state legislature. Can you tell us what you presented in that hearing with your report?
Absolutely. We studied Milwaukee County specifically, and then tangentially Green Bay or Brown County and Racine counties. And what we were looking at was what we believe is the proof of exploitation of ballot drop boxes, the privately funded CTCL money, Mark Zuckerberg money, ballot drop boxes. And what we presented in the hearing was laying out the research of those specific jurisdictions in which we geofenced around the privately funded drop boxes and then monitored how many individual times the same device went to that drop box, and then from that formed patterns of life, and presented that to the committee by way of help, hopefully helping them achieve some solid legislation that prevents those drop boxes from being used in the future.
So I want to back up a little bit. That was, when I first read the methodology that you use, I was blown away. I thought that was such a brilliant idea. Where did you get that idea to use the cell phone ping data from?
Well, we were aware that such data exists, and it's used routinely in law enforcement. It's used increasingly in political campaigns, and we felt like, given the fog around everything that was happening in the election, it was a path that necessarily left a track, and so we went for it.
Actually, another question I had is, how long did it take you to map out that data? Because you, from your report, I think you wrote that you had about 10 trillion individual pings of data. So how long did it actually take you, even within that one Milwaukee area, to trace people's movements? How long?
It takes months and months first to evaluate. I mean, because it's a series of sifts, right? So you have to figure out what the population pool looks like, how many people or devices, I should say, went to the drop box to begin with, and then you begin to work backwards from that, because you don't want to catch people in the evaluation that went, you know, a number that we would conceivably consider to be normal. So it took months, and what you're left with, though, at the end of it is something that is akin to DNA. It is so exacting, and shines a big light on what's happening inside of our election.
And so within the Milwaukee area, what did you actually find once you had that data in hand?
From memory, we found 202, I believe, individuals who went to drop boxes more than, I believe, 10 times. And you have to forgive me, because since we presented in Wisconsin, we've gone on to present in Pennsylvania and then in Arizona. So the numbers kind of run together. But you know, when you think about the data sifts that we went through, the groups that we ended up identifying, and we called them mules because we, frankly, we began to use sort of cartel terminology, stash houses and drop points and mules. And the mules, their pattern of life was so distinct from anybody else in the population. They followed a routes that they did not follow when early election or early voting was not in play. They went at night. I mean, they had all the earmarks, all the characteristics of something that was aberrant. Hundreds of people going thousands of times. Unfortunately, Wisconsin, even though they told the people of the state that they had eyes on the drop boxes and that they were using surveillance video, that was apparently not true. We certainly couldn't get it if it was. So we have no way of threading it back. But what we have been able to find in other states where the video was available is, in fact, threading that data, that geospatial data together with the video data, reveals needles in haystacks never before seen of people ballot trafficking.
Now, Catherine, my next question, and probably what everyone else who's watching this interview is wondering as well, is when exactly did... Sorry. What's this?
Roman, it's me. Of course it's secure, because we use the Secure app, which is the sponsor of today's episode, as well as an awesome email and message service provider that actually cares about your privacy. Now listen, it's no big secret that our data is being mined and remined all the time. In fact, there was a recent study that was published in the year 2020.
All right, we're going to cut it right there. Here's what we have. Huge. GOP officials in more than half of the Wisconsin counties are calling for the decertification of the state's 2020 election. That's right, 37 counties in Wisconsin demand a decertification. They want to go of that 2020 election because of all of this. Now, there was more counties that had these illegal ballots, but at least 37 of them have the guts to do what's right. Now, the GOP voters in more than half the counties in Wisconsin is calling for the decertification of the 2020 election results. Now, it's official. The top GOP voters in Wisconsin, for more than half of the state, are calling for the decertification of the 2020 election results in the state. Things were getting very serious in Wisconsin right now to decertify the election. The people in Wisconsin are like those across the nation who are livid because of the obviously tainted results that were certified for senile Joe Biden in the 2020 election. That's actually in the article. I didn't just say that. Numerous fraudulent activities have been uncovered to date, and the number keeps on growing, as does the number of individuals who are calling for decertification. 12 Wisconsin counties called to reclaim the state's 2020 electoral votes before Justice Gableman called for decertification yesterday. And so here, former Supreme Court Justice in the state of Wisconsin, Michael Goldman, called for the decertification of the state's results from the 2020 election in March after the months of investigation work in the state. This was not taken lightly because of Gableman's background and professionalism throughout his career. Now, did you guys hear that on any other news? And I'm talking including Fox News.
I didn't.
You never heard a word. Here's something else you didn't hear. Biden's FEC nominee admits her name is on legal documents attesting voting machines used in Georgia illegally switched votes from one candidate to another. That's right. 100% fed up. Reports for a year and a half. MyPillow CEO Mike Lindell has been called a liar. Big box stores like Kroger, Bed and Bath, and Beyond, Kohl's, Wayfair, and others have dropped his product from their stores over his claims that the voting machines in the 2020 election switched the votes, causing Joe Biden to win the election. Well, we all know that, okay? My constitutional attorney, Matt DiPerno, who hasn't given up on his legal battle in Antrim County, I guess it's Michigan, to prove voting machines have the ability to switch votes, he has been demonized by the Democrats, including the current Attorney General Dana Nessel, who Matt DiPerno hopes to run against in November election if he wins in the nomination. There you go. I have one more. Listen to this. Alaska hands over elections to corrupt Democrats. Upcoming elections will have all mail-in ballots and no signature checks at all. Yep, that's right. The state of Alaska is handing over its elections to the most corrupt politicians in the state. No longer will free and fair elections exist in Alaska. To have valid election results, you need to ensure that all the ballots are counted and the process are valid. We learned this in the 2020 election when millions of invalid ballots were inserted into the election for Joe Biden. Now the state of Alaska wants to hand over its election process to the most corrupt politicians out there. So what do you fellows think about that?
Well, it's suicide politically for the Republicans to do this. So obviously there's something more going behind the scenes. And they're either bribed or blackmailed. And,
no, the Republicans aren't doing it. It's the Democrats that are doing it.
Yeah, but the Republicans are going along with it.
In Alaska, the Republicans are going along with that?
Yeah, I'm 90% sure. There was a big stink being raised in Alaska and Missouri about the Republicans cooperating with the Democrats in the election process. Where they can, get the advantage.
Oh, by the way, that talking head that you guys couldn't remember her name was Leslie Stahl. So there you go. Unbelievable. Here's one. To show you, another example of how corrupt the government, it's not our government anymore, is Soros-funded circuit attorney walks. Kim Gardner faces no consequences after she admits to wrongdoing in Grecian's case. Records show 62 acts of misconduct. George Soros went out. He sent his minions out with a short list saying, I want you to go out there. I want you to find and especially black women. This is the year black women who are willing to sell their souls. Who will sell their souls? We're going to make them attorney generals. We're going to put them, but not just black women, but mostly black women. We're going to put them in places where they're going to totally violate the law, totally violate the Constitution. They will sell their soul, and I'll give you enough money to get them elected. And that's exactly what happened. It's going to another rough day for crooked Soros-funded St. Louis Circuit Attorney Kim Gardner. The Missouri Supreme Court ruled on Friday that's the far-left St. Louis Circuit Attorney Kimberly Gardner must turn over communications with Soros operatives and Missouri political insiders related to their false case against the former governor, Eric Greitens. Former governor Eric Greitens posted this tweet this afternoon. A Missouri appeals court upheld a previous judge ruling in January against Soros-funded St. Louis Circuit Attorney Kim Gardner. The court unanimously ruled Kim Gardner failed to file a timely response to reporter John Solomon from Just the News for information on her communications with the political insiders and all of Soros' operatives. And the court last year found Kim Gardner engaged in 62 acts of misconduct, 79 false representations in her prosecution of Eric Greitens. Kim Gardner already faces misconduct probe and illicit conduct in her plot to take down popular Missouri governor. There you go. I mean, if you take a look at that, that's, you got that one right now in New York City that's going after President Trump again.
So. Yeah. Oh, yeah. See, that's what we're talking about, Pastor. Everything's built on lies and deception. So they're using their political power because there's no restraint on it. So they're using it against anybody they want, and then they're protecting anybody that they want. So the justice is just there is no justice anymore. It depends upon politically who you are, how much money you have, influence, power, and what party you belong.
Yep. Here's another one about the Department of Defense in the Ukraine. U.S. Department of Defense awarded contract for COVID-19 research in Ukraine 3 months before COVID was known to even exist. The world first started to hear about a novel coronavirus in early January 2020, with the reports of an alleged new pneumonia-like illness spreading across Wuhan, China. However, the world did not actually know of COVID-19 until February 2020, because it was not until the 11th of that month that the World Health Organization officially named the novel coronavirus disease as COVID-19. So with the, in other words, it's the 19th COVID. So with this being the official truth, why does United States government data show that the U.S. Department of Defense awarded a contract on the 12th of November, 2019 to Labrinth Global Health Incorporated for COVID-19 research at least 1 month before the alleged emergency of the emergence of the coronavirus and 3 months before it was officially dubbed COVID-19. The shocking findings, however, do not end there. The contract awarded in November of 2019 for COVID research was not only instructed to take place in Ukraine, it was in fact a part of a much larger contract for biological threat reduction programs in the Ukraine. See, that's another thing, John. This country, it had biological weapon labs all over Ukraine, but they've got them in many different countries too, don't they?
Yeah, I don't know how many countries, Fester, Ernie, but a lot. And if we, and I said this before, and I still hold to what I said, the fact that we built, funded, and staffed these labs in the Ukraine, it's wrong. I mean, why are we doing that in Ukraine and other countries and not here in America? What's the reason for that? So to me, the reason is there's a legal activity going on that it's illegal here, but it's not illegal in Ukraine. So they're farming out their work in biological weapons, and that they're farming it out to a country where they can do it.
We've had that Dr. Artisan was on here, and he went very thoroughly what we've been telling people from the get-go. I mean, remember, John, all the way back in the 80s, we were talking about the world depopulation, how you had these groups, and back around the 90s, and that is when Bill Gates really came into focus. Actually, his father was a part of that, and his father actually was ahead of Planned Predators for a while. So here, when he came in with this depopulation program, the whole thing, and now that Dr. Art has come out and he showed you how, look, here's, you know, all of the things, the natural herbal formulas, and by the way, I have an article here on which are the best natural herbal formulas to counteract,
COVID-19.
Venom. No, the venom. Venom in the deadly shots. They're filled with three different powerful snakes they've used, the venom and those shots. And so they give you the list of the, but it's like the ones that we know that are made to counteract the venom in the COVID, and also to counteract the COVID itself, getting the disease. What does that tell you? If it's counteracting both of them the same, what does that tell you about the so-called vaccine?
Well, it appears that it has venom in it that can be neutralized just like you would for a snake bite. So, yeah, there's something nefarious in it.
Well, again, it's hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, the very same, coercitin, the very same things that we're taking, you know, to avoid the COVID-19. And instead of going to the hospitals when they're and they get in there and they give you remdesivir, which is, again, a part of that same makeup. In fact, I read that remdesivir has been outlawed in every country but one, right here. That's it. So they and when you go to the hospital, the very thing that would kill you is what the, like with Carl Evans, when Carl Evans was at the Geauga County Hospital, he told him he did not want remdesivir, and they gave it to him anyhow and killed him. And so, there you go. So here.
And there you go, Pastor Ernie. Who was going to hold the hospitals accountable for that?
Well, I can tell you this. They have really lost a lot of credibility, major lost a lot of credibility. They went woke. They went for the money. In fact, John, I got a list here someplace, and you wouldn't believe the money. It's an actual list of the different hospitals in the different states, how much money they get. Oh, no, let me see. No, that's not it. How much money they get if they declare you that you have COVID in their hospital, and they treat you for that, and you, whether you survive or not. But I also have a list. This is a list of known side effects resulting from the Pfizer clinical trials. Boy, you wouldn't believe this. There's actually known side effects. Well, I'm going down through the pages, counting the numbers of them. These are known side effects. 1,118. Wait a minute. No, there's another page. 1,209 total side. Oh, wait a minute. No, there's another page. Okay, I found the end of it. 1,294 known side effects from that poisonous poke. What do you think of that?
Well, I absolutely believe it. I mean, that death shot, poisonous poke, was set up to, in various stages, Pastor, and either kill some people, like, right out, and then some within a month, and others in 6 months and a year. And, you know, now we're into about a year and a half, I guess. And but the effects are still, people are still dying from it and having severe side effects from it. So this is staged. You know, they couldn't kill everybody right away with it. It would be obvious. So they have a whole, it's staged over a period of time. But the effects are going to be devastating.
Yep. We'll be back right after this. Don't go away. More to come.
Some say it rained, I don't know if it's true. Well, I can just imagine 10,000 angels cry. That would seem like rain to me and you. Angels all stood ready to take him from the tree. They waited for the words from his voice. And when he asked the Father, why hast thou forsaken me? They watched the Savior die of his own choice. I've never seen 10,000 angels cry. It must have looked like rain when 10,000 angels cried.
That was Julie Danner's rendition of When 10,000 Angels Cried. You probably will recognize that voice. She's been with me in several different songs. And I just hope McTernan don't make fun of her like he did me.
Hey, Pastor Ernie.
Don't
you know that chart you talked about, the bounty y'all caught on the COVID cases by state?
Yeah, I have it here someplace, yeah.
Yeah, you know, it runs from 20-some grand up to almost $500,000, depending on the state. It would be interesting, and maybe somebody has done it, is see if there's a correlation between the number of cases reported by each state and the bounty that's on, you know, having the COVID diagnosis.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea. All right, we're going to open the phone lines and take some calls. Okay, if you have any, who was the truck driver that needed a prayer? There's a Joe from North. He's a truck driver from North Carolina that's got a problem with his feet, and he apparently injured. And he asked that John McTernan would ask a prayer for him.
His name is Joe.
Joe from North Carolina, yeah.
And he's injured his feet.
Yeah, right ankle.
Okay, all right, Father, we bring Joe before you. And there's an injury with his right foot, right ankle, Lord. And we're asking now that for your mercy, and that you would, through the power of the Holy Spirit, restore, if there's broken bones, they would be healed. If torn ligaments or anything like that, it would all be healed, Lord. That he, and we're asking that you would heal it quickly. We're asking now in Jesus' name that you would immediately heal the pain. You would heal the pain, Lord. That pain would just disappear following by the healing of the bones, muscles, tendons, ligaments, whatever else is needed. And that he would give you the glory, Lord, for it. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
Well, all right. Thank you, John. Okay, let's go to who did you say we had out there? I'm sorry. Okay, Mac, you're in the air.
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
Hey, Mac. Yeah, how are you?
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. I just want to give you a little excerpt of that book I sent you. There's a message that he preached at his pastor's conference called Fresh Oil, and it was by request. And the latest one, and it was only a few years before he passed away, when he told his father, who was a pitiful alcoholic, that he was going to be a preacher, his father beat him up, knocked him on the ground, and kicked him. And laughing, said, build the world's largest church. And that's what Pastor Jack Hiles did. But his message, this kind and fresh oil, when every time I hear some new thing going on, the only thing I can think of is when he alludes to this, what this nation is dying for the supernatural. This nation's dying for men that will pray and fast. And we are way past, way, way, way past a man with a demon-possessed child. We have a satanic government. And the only way to come against that is through prayer and fasting. Because Jesus said in Mark 9:29, this kind goeth not forth but by prayer and fasting. And anyone out there in Christianity that's listened to this voice that knows Christ as Savior, my wife and I have been praying and fasting for many things. Revival, that would God would come against this wicked government. We start it after the evening meal on Wednesday and we finish it Thursday. Please join us at the altar. Because it works. And I also request prayer for Dan and Becky from Maine, whose their son passed away. And they raised them, all four of their kids, homeschooled and everything, but he went down a slippery slope. I don't want to get into all the details, but they need a lot of prayer right now because they just came from the funeral, and they really need a lot of prayer. They're Christians, but losing a son is really rough, and they need a lot of prayer.
Dan and Becky, yeah, I know from experience, yes. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I don't know Dan and Becky, but we know you do. We know, Lord, I do know what it's like to lose a son. And so, Heavenly Father, Lord God, I would just hold these two people up to you right now and ask, Lord, at this time you be a comfort to them. Lord God, that you would hedge them around about and be a comfort to them. And often what happens when a child is all lost, a son is lost, sometimes it makes the parents bitter. But Father God, again, we just want to hold them up and ask, Lord, that you would be a comfort at this time to the family. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right,
amen.
Thanks,
love
Mac.
You, Pastor. Keep up the good work.
You do the same. God bless. Have a blessed Resurrection Sunday. Okay, let's go to Cliff. Cliff, you're in there.
Yeah, hi, guys. I would aim the imprecatory prayers first at Pfizer before anybody else on the planet. But I wanted to tell John and John on the Sergeant Reports, the propaganda anecdote podcast with the sergeant. There's a two-part series this week on law that seems to deal with, property confiscations in part. So you might be interested in that, you know, where both the judge and the prosecutors seem to be working in tandem in these cases. So that might be of interest to you. And then I want to ask John and John about the study. I want to just ask about James chapter 4, verse 8, where it says, cleanse your heart, purify your hearts, ye double-minded. So it's talking about the mind in one part of that, and then it's talking about the heart. What's your thoughts or clarification
on
that?
I know that verse, and that verse is draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. So go ahead, John and John.
And which verse was it again, James 4?
8.
8.
Well, there's a direct connection, and it's been proven, between your mind and your heart. So cleanse your hands, what you're doing, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. So your heart is actually spiritually, physically connected to your mind. And so, you know, the purifying of the heart involves also the cleansing of your mind. So maybe John wants to add that. You don't want to be double-minded, because the scripture warns about that, and double-minded men don't receive anything from the Lord.
Yeah, double-minded is you're living, we'll say, half your life for the Lord and half your life in the world. You'll say one thing, do another thing. God wants us to be single-minded in our thinking for Christ, focused on him and not living, you know, a duplicate life. Because someone like that, the Bible says that they're not going to receive anything of the Lord.
Your mind should be like saturated with the Word of God, and then you have the mind of Christ, and anything that you think of or doing, Scripture should pop up in your mind, kind of like a piece of toast popping up in a toaster. And so everything you think and do is filtered through the Word of God. And that keeps your heart healthy also, and keeps your heart right.
So he's telling them, one, to submit to God, submit yourself to God, right? And then number two, well, the prior verse, verse 7, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil. So you resist the devil, and then don't allow him to entice you or tempt you. And boy, he's good at that, isn't he? Now, cleanse your hands and purify your hearts. That's what he's telling you, to lead a pure life, to live a pure life is what he's telling you there. So he's telling
you. The Bible tells us to purify ourselves.
Be cleansed from sin, replacing what? So you replace the sin with God's purity, right?
Yeah, and the only way you can purify yourself is to know the Word of God so that you're acting in God's
way as a pure person. And that's one of the routes that you get to becoming, the Bible talks about, beloved child of God. You know, it talks about the children of God, and then he talks about being a beloved child. So your goal should be to become a beloved child of God. And you can look in God's, I call it God's mirror. It's in Colossians chapter 3, and that gives you the definition of how you identify who an elect person is. So it's, you know, it's somewhat complex, but yet it's simple. You purify yourself through the Word of God.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to say exactly if you know you're being double-minded, though, maybe. No. Like, I mean, at certain points, it's hard to tell within yourself how, if you're actually being double-minded, maybe.
Well, if your mind comes up with something that against the Word of God, that wouldn't be single-minded, because single-minded means you have thoughts that are Christ-like thoughts, if that makes sense.
Right. All right.
If you're double-minded, all or if right. somebody's double-minded, it comes out in their actions.
Well, you follow me? You'll know them. Yeah, that type of thing.
Yeah, right. You know them by their, you know, how they behave and what they do.
Right, by your fruits. Yeah, okay. So, but it's good that, I guess at the beginning of James, it's talking about looking in the mirror. So that's one thing, one way of looking in the mirror. Hey, you know, let's look at the speck in your eye or whatever, you know, at least be able to.
Well, that's where I say to look in the mirror. The mirror, you want to see if you're elect of God, because it's clear in the Word of God that you can identify elect, because John knew who the elect lady was. So the mirror for the elect is Colossians chapter 3.
All right, very good. Thanks, Cliff. Cliff, you have a blessed Resurrection Sunday. Who do we have next? AC, you're in the air.
Yes. Hello, hello, hello.
Hello.
The other night, you talked about the news media being left behind after the rapture.
Yeah, yeah.
And so the question people might think, well, what is the news media going to say? How are they going to explain the rapture? Well, I'm going to tell you how. You missed this, but the only way they can explain the rapture is to say that it was a UFO phenomenon. When the graves of the saved are opened up and the other are untouched and the living believers are changed in a moment in a twinkling of an eye, and we talked about the blood being left behind of those living believers. The only way they're going to explain this to the people is to say that it was some sort of alien or UFO phenomenon. And that's,
well, actually, what they're saying already, right now, in fact, this has been said for some years, they will say that the leader, before he returns back to the planet, he had to purify it by removing us, the Christians, of course. So remember, he's the Antichrist. He's going to come as Christ. So they've been saying this already for years, right, McTernan?
If it's Ernie, yeah. That's been a New Age teaching for a long time, that the great one, or whatever, the great spirit is going to take out the difficult one.
Yeah. I would say that kind of hit Pastor Ernie like in the late 70s, 1970s. That's when that started. And also, I meant to ask, tell you this, it was in the late 70s, again, that the depopulation started. All those stories that the earth was going, people, mass starvation, there wasn't enough food and all, and it had to be done quickly. That all started in the mid to late 1970s.
Do you remember that guy named Ehrlich? I think his name was Robert Ehrlich. Paul Ehrlich, yeah. He was the one that was saying that, he was the one, I had his book, Paul Ehrlich. They had him on all the different TV shows. Remember, he was telling us that by the middle of the 1980s, we would be in a total ice age. He was saying that because, and it was going to be because of Q-tips, disposable diapers, flatulence from cows, and acid rain, and we were going to be in a total Ice Age, and I still have his book. And he was, and they put him on every TV show, talk show to talk about that. Well, there you go.
It
I
sounds
think
like AOC saying, you know, we have like 8 years, whatever it is, before we all die from heat. The Earth is going to overheat, and it's going to die. You know, that's her global warming. It's global. She's promoting global warming. But yeah, see, we're the old timers, were onto them because, just like you said, in the 60s, they were talking about the new ice age coming.
Yep. So, I remember. Yeah, go ahead, John.
I was going to say they have all the media reports, all the scientific reports about the freezing and the new ice age was coming. All of a sudden, it stopped. You didn't hear another word about it, and then picked up with global warming.
Yeah, then they went, because they kept, every time they would do the global warming thing, we'd have record cold winters, and so they changed it to a climate change. They just
climate
changed
change.
It, to, yeah, to make it. And you know, the idea that New York City was going to be underwater because of the melting. But remember this: we were the ones, right here on this radio program, when they said all the polar bears were going to drown when the icebergs melted, and we were the ones that told people that polar bears can swim, and so therefore they're not going to drown, okay? And so, you know, we were way out ahead of them.
Yeah, Pastor Ernie, I'm telling you, the more I listen, the more genius you are.
I know. it's just there. I don't know what else to tell you. It's just there. Okay, which one of you guys gave the invitation last week? You remember?
I can't remember.
You did? So Holman's got 4 minutes. Do you think get her in 4 minutes? Okay.
All right, here we go.
Go for it.
So, folks, the most important thing that we talked about tonight is that it is going to be a day the world will stop and pause, and there will be various celebrations. People will be doing pagan things, like hunting for Easter eggs and all the things that we mentioned that are become, unfortunately, traditions in American culture about Resurrection Sunday. And that Resurrection Sunday is the most important event that ever took place in this world, because men can come and they can say things. Men can come and many men have been slaughtered for the wrong reasons, but only one man resurrected himself from the dead, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is unique in history. And so that event changed the world, and that event has happened so that you can have eternal life. So here's the deal. This week, this Sunday, when you get together, many do, with their families and friends, it gives you an opportunity, if you know the Lord, to preach the gospel and put the emphasis on how Christ raised from the dead, and because Christ gave his life for you on that cross, suffered for your sins, suffered for the sins of the world, and rose from the dead just as he said he was, you and everyone else that you come in contact with can have eternal life if you do what the Bible says, which is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You repent of your sins. You stop doing the things that offend God. You do as what's preached on this show. You become a doer of the word. You do those works that have been prepared for you before the foundation of the world. You do those things, and you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. You offer up yourself as a living sacrifice. And when you do that and you realize that you're going to have eternal life, it will be the happiest day of your life. Guaranteed. I can clearly remember the day when that happened to me, and I jumped inside for joy. It's a marvelous thing to realize that you are not going to die. You are going to, once you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to transition either in the air, which we're looking forward soon, happening soon, which is what we call the rapture, when God calls his believers home, when you meet him in the air, or when you go to sleep in death, you will be instantaneously absent from the body and be present with the Lord and enter into his kingdom and have that eternal life. So that's the most important thing that you're going to hear tonight. So I urge you, please, in the name of Jesus, avoid, do everything you can to avoid going into the lake of fire and enter into eternal life, and you will have joy forevermore. That's it, Pastor Ernie.
And 10 seconds, tell me.
10 seconds?
Yep.
Happy Resurrection Sunday.
All right, that's it. God always does what he says. The Lord Jesus did raise himself from the dead. And when we look out, and if we look at the qualifications, all you have to do is take a look at the universe. He made that, right? And so he's a God that cannot fail. And what, like the Lord Jesus said, nothing is too hard, or nothing's impossible. We're out of time again. You guys both have a blessed Resurrection Sunday.
Same and, to you, Pastor Ernie, and all our listeners.
Yep.
Yes. Amen.
Till tomorrow, good night. God bless, and always, always keep fighting the fight.
Fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.